it's JT, and I'm excited because I've just booked my flights and I'm coming to a city near you. I will be in Poland and Germany in July. Then I'll be in the UK and Scotland in August. Then I'll be making the trip over to the United States and Canada for September. If you would like a Bulletproof for BJJ seminar, contact us. Email jt@bulletproofforbjj.com and book your seminar today.
Better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ podcast. I am JT.
Hey guys, I'm Joey.
Today we're asking the question, is purple belt the most important belt? Now, I feel that it is...
It was when I was a purple belt.
Well, when you've got it.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, because obviously you don't want to do warm-ups. You're too smart.
You're
for
beyond that.
Yeah, you've progressed.
You warmed up all through blue belt. Now you're like good to go always.
Just show up, head side to side, tie the belt, get on the mat. Someone very early on in the jiu-jitsu journey said to me that purple belt is where you really build your jiu-jitsu. It doesn't mean that you're there the longest, but that is where your game is built. Because you have enough understanding that you can attack, you can defend, and then you're starting to play and you develop like a jiu-jitsu taste. Like you're like, oh, I really want to be a Birambolo guy, or oh, I want to be a takedown smash kind of cat, or whatever it is. So you develop a game,
yeah,
and then really brown belt, you get a few add-ons, and then black belt, it opens up to whatever else. But the way it was really sold to me was white belt is survival, blue belt you actually learn some stuff, and purple belt is where your game is built.
Right.
But the reason why, and I would say, and you can disagree if you like, Joe, I know you like to.
I would never disagree with you, JT, because we share the same values and the same beliefs universally. And that's what makes us good business partners.
You guys have no idea. But it, truth be told, we have more in common than we don't. I think purple belt, we do. As much as Joe would not like to admit it, we have a lot in common. It's frightening. And it's not, we're not even trying. It probably, that's what irks me most about Joe's. more like me than I'd like to admit. Or am I more like him? Good question. I believe purple belt is hardest because you're in the middle. You're the middle child.
Right.
White belts and blue belts are coming for you. Black belts and brown belts are punching down. Like no one wants to.
Because you're a threat. You're a threat to everyone.
No one wants to see you get up at purple. You know what I mean?
Like, no, yeah. And as a black belt and a brown belt, you're like, aha, purple belt, dangerous.
Risky.
Yeah.
They've got moves.
Yeah.
And they've done it long enough to be good. And a competitive purple belt can towel up a recreational black belt.
Yes.
I believe that. Have you had experience with tricky purple belts, mate? Or how did you feel when you were in your purple belt?
Oh, absolutely. I think when I was purple belt, I was kind of at that place of which was really me from white to purple, was like just oblivious
right
to what was going on, and I'm just fucking going for it all the time.
Yeah.
And I think I was a real handful because I was oblivious to it. I was just using all the athleticism and I had a bit of shit going on, you know, by the time you get to purple. So yeah, you're quite formidable. And I realize that now. I was telling you the other day, I dropped in at a gym when I was traveling north in New South Wales.
You did, yeah.
I turned up at this academy and they had like a no-gi open mat during the week. And it was a late session. It was like, it started at 7:30. It's kind of small town. It was a strangely late time. But basically it was just, they finished the main training for the night and then a few people want to stick around and just do no-gi rounds.
Sure.
And a really nice young fella came up to me. The people at the gym were not overly friendly. Like there wasn't a lot of like warmness or anything from the head coach or whatever. But this kid came and was like, hey man, you doing the no-gi? And I said, yeah, I am. He said, oh, awesome, man. My name's, I can't remember what his name was. But he's like, yeah, jump on. What's your name? Like, you know, real friendly. And I had seen him doing some rounds in the gi before and I couldn't remember what belt he was, but he was really good. I'm watching this kid. I'm like, wow, this kid moves really well. Anyway, So I jumped on and we did a couple of rounds together. Man, this kid was a fucking handful.
Yeah.
And now I'm there for like holiday session, you know what I mean? Like
just cruising.
Showed up, like, yeah, let's do some shit.
Yeah.
And this guy just, he was really upfront. He's like, I asked him what belt he was. He said, I'm a purple belt. I said, cool. And I said, are you cool to play leg locks or what? Like, what do you do? And he said, no, I'm down. He said, I'm totally down. And he said, and I won't kick you in the head.
Nice.
And I was like, you're a cool guy.
Yeah, cool.
And man, it was such a tough role. Like it was fine, but he was just like moving really well.
Sharp.
Yeah, super sharp, really athletic. I was like, that's what I was to a lot of people for so long, and sure. I never knew it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Just let's say you're 50 years old and a purple belt. That is a different vibe to maybe someone who started jiu-jitsu when they were 20 and now they're 25 with a purple belt. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
So
absolutely.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're a bit older and you're a bit more heavy set or you're young and nimble and lithe. It doesn't matter. Purple belts have skills. But I guess the thing is you've done jiu-jitsu long enough to still – you're not jaded. I feel like I meet a lot of brown belts who are kind of jaded. They've done it a long time.
Kind of on the way out.
No, yeah, they're like they're just hanging in for their black belt. But like – maybe they don't love it as much as they used to, but they're tough.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of a bit grizzled. It is challenging, right? It takes a while to get that black belt. And you might not have the same youthful enthusiasm. Even if you're an older person, like you have different seasons, I guess, in your life. And you just, sometimes you hit those sweet spots where you're training consistently, you feel good, it's clicking. And you're also getting a degree of satisfaction from doing it where you're like, my jiu-jitsu is good. I can bang, you know.
Yeah.
And that sense of confidence that comes through, you can feel it when someone's kind of quite whippy and they're just zooming around. You're like, oh, look out.
It's flow here.
Yeah, right. And I even think for myself, my most competitive time in my whole jiu-jitsu career was purple. But I spent most of my time on purple.
Right.
Like that's where I was the longest.
How long were you there for? Do you remember?
4.5 years.
Okay.
I think 4 years.
Yeah.
Like it was a while because I changed gyms.
Right.
So I think for any of you out there, if you've had to change gyms, you might have been on your belt 2+ years, 3 years. You change gyms, you're going to spend another year, depending on the coach.
Guys, I choose to do 3 gyms on brown belt. That was the one.
Right.
It was like a decade at brown.
Well, I mean, it's different for everyone. But I definitely know I gave my best jiu-jitsu, but I also took my worst beatings at purple as well.
Right.
From the higher belts.
Yeah.
They're like, nah, you're going to pipe down, young man. And I wasn't that young. Like I was 30, you know, like I'd been in jiu-jitsu, 5 years. I started when I was 25. I was 30 years old. But like you get that young whippersnapper, like, you know, you're not senior enough.
Yeah.
But you've worked hard. You've earned your stripes. So it's like, man, do you know what I mean? Like
totally.
It's a difficult balance. You feel like you're good enough to get some credit, but you're just getting all the smoke.
Yes.
Above and below.
Yeah. You know, like looking at those, say, different seasons of the different belts.
Yes.
In a way. What is it about purple, do you think, that, like, why is that so important to be at that place and go through that?
For any of you out there, like, I know as a white belt, I didn't really know what I was doing. You know, I only had 2 or 3 techniques and I was just happy to be getting amongst it and, you know. And then blue belt felt like I was getting more of an idea but just still copying beatings. Not winning a lot, winning some, you know, like beating people at my level or below. But then at purple, I started to think, like, oh, maybe I'm better. Maybe I can do more. And then maybe you catch a brown belt or maybe you sweep a black belt. You're like, oh, they're human. Ah, what? Like, I think it becomes like anything in jiu-jitsu, it starts to open up the realm of possibility that like, hey, these black belts, they're humans and they have bad days. And if I'm on a good day, maybe I can get this guy. And I think at that stage, I still felt like if I could tap somebody, then I stole their power.
Right.
You know, it's like if you get, you know, like back
eat
in the day.
Heart of your enemy.
Yeah, that's right. You're an Amazonian. Cut their heart out. Eat it. You've taken their power.
Yeah.
Similar deal. I did tap a fairly famous Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion, but he had me for a rest round. He was exhausted, but I was like good to go. And I snapped him up in a triangle, but he didn't give a shit. You know, like he's like, oh. Fine. And he powered up, you know, he got me back, but I could see how exhausted he was because he'd just taken 5 hard rounds with world champions as well.
Had you had a rest round prior to that?
I hadn't, but I'd been rolling purples, bro. At that stage in my life, I never took rest rounds. I was the rest round.
Yeah.
You know, like I think at that stage in my life, like I was
taking thinking, what you can get.
Oh, whatever. Whoever will roll with me, I'm so keen. And I got in big trouble for trying to call black belts to roll.
Yeah,
like
right.
That's in Brazil, that's a huge faux pas.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think like I learnt a lot more at purple. Like I was more invested in my learning. And then once I felt like, okay, this is my guard. Once I went to brown, then I was like, man, I got to learn takedowns. I got to learn top game. And I think even though that helped round me out as a jiu-jitsu athlete, my learning, it didn't stall, but it slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
And then once it was like brown belt to black belt, now it's like leg locks and just going really hard on understanding that whole piece.
Yeah.
But no, man, I think I spent my most time there. But also if I think about some people who I've seen in the jiu-jitsu gym, I was like, man, when that guy was a purple belt, he was a monster. And now they're kind of, not lost the love, but time goes on. And maybe they're not as passionate. And, you know, maybe the beatings and the injuries you take when you're a purple, they weigh on you as you accumulate on the journey.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought, isn't it? You see people in jiu-jitsu kind of go, like you see there's certain individuals that get really bitten by the bug and go hard in competition.
Yep.
And this is just talking about local cats, guys and girls.
Sure.
But you see, you know, that, and they have this huge like up curve in progression, killing it, crushing it, you know, doing really well in comps, get their blue belt, you know, continue competing, boom, purple belt.
Go to worlds.
Yeah. Like do that whole thing, like live that whole sort of journey. And then you often see them just kind of, you know, you just stop seeing
them,
the competition staff or whatever. And I'm saying all this as someone that doesn't compete, right? Like I look at that and I'm like, wow, that's fucking cool. You know, full respect. But it very rarely continues on through brown and black, does it?
Yeah.
Because I guess there's two parts to it. It's like one, you've only got internally, you've only got so much maybe energy or motivation to live that way and train that way. But also life changes, doesn't it?
Of course.
And so it's like you were saying, like, yeah, you're in your 20s, maybe you get there. Then you're in your 30s.
Yeah.
And you got to work more.
Or you've got a child.
A little bit more tired.
Own a business.
All that stuff. It can be very easy to think at that point, man, I'm taking this to the top.
Yep.
I'm taking this all the way. And you do see exceptional individuals who have done that.
Yeah.
Guys like Talis and Suarez and whatnot.
Yeah, of course.
Who were fucking purple belts when they were like 18, right?
Of course.
Like as young as possible.
Young as possible.
You're like, okay, that is really, at that age, you're maximizing your time at this up curve.
Yep.
But I think, for most individuals, it's very, you alluded to it before, it's like you've only got a few good years of that sort of intensity.
Intensity, yeah.
Yeah.
It is difficult because if I think about looking at purple belts now as a black belt and been on my black belt a little while, I'm always a little bit wary. Like I'm like, oh, look out. Like this is someone that, you know, they're going to bring it to you maybe more than some black belts in some ways. I mean, generally between black belts, it's understood. We're here to do it. We're professionals. Let's get down. But then also there is sympathy between black belts. If a black belt comes to you and goes, oh, bro, I just had a Rico on my knee, but I'm here to roll. You're like, okay, I'm not going to re-Rico your knee.
Yeah.
You know, you know those feels. And you see your man, he's been in the game as long as you, your lady friend, you're like, man, I don't want to crank it. They say, oh man, I bulge a disc in my neck. I'm here to train, but please, you know. So you're like, yeah, cool. You know they've got a school or you know whatever. There's no sympathy between black belts and purple belts. Purple belts like, no, I'm here to smoke you, fool, because I want to get my brown belt.
Yeah.
And then you're like, bro.
And I'm, yeah.
Yeah, you got to remember you're purple. Like, yes, you have game. Yes, you're really good. But I'm black belt, so fuck you. And then it's interesting to see how competitive, because I think blue belt and purple belt is now way more competitive than it's ever been. You got guys like Cole Abate, 16 years old, won the ADCC trials. Kid is a monster. He's 16 and he's just smashing adults, right? You got
fucking Nicky Rod's little bro.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know if he does anything in the gi, but yeah, it's a new game now.
Yeah, very young. And look, he's been sandbagged super hard, you know, like, but whatever, he's a...
Well, maybe he should be a purple belt.
Yeah, definitely. It should be, yeah. But I mean, whatever. That aside, if you're a blue belt and you're like, man, how do I take it to this next level? It gets harder. And I think that's the thing. Every time you go up a level, and it's always humans, whether it's financial, you know, in a job, you get promoted, you're like, oh, what's the next thing? You know, and we're all in the habit of this. I do this too much. I'm always thinking ahead and like, what's next? What's the next 5 years? What's the next 10 years? And you miss the moment. I say this as a joke to my students. I'm always like, I wish you guys were all black belts so we could get on some rocket science level of jiu-jitsu shit. But that would miss the journey. There is such enjoyment and good memories in when you were a blue belt and taking your licks and then getting the purple and getting better. And now you get the sense that you're a threat. You're like, man, I can do some damage here. I mean, I can kick these white and blue belts' butts, but man, also I could get these brown and blacks. And you're really you're an unknown quantity, which I think is why it is important, because everyone recognizes your potential. I think if you make it to purple, you're probably going to go to black belt. Not all, but you're pretty deep in the jiu-jitsu cult. You know, you're pretty deep in the path, I think.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see what the stats show, because I tend to feel like you can just bow out at any point.
Yeah?
I tend not to think that because you got here, you're more likely to go to here.
Oh, yeah?
And just because of, you know, all the other shit that happens in life.
Yeah.
I think about myself, I was like, I was very happy to stop training.
But you came back, though, didn't
I
you?
Did come back, but only because of certain circumstances, right?
Yeah.
Like, I would say if I hadn't have met Adam Childs through you,
sure,
I probably just wouldn't have come back.
Right.
You know, and I would have been, like, really happy to have, sure, you know, finished with a brown belt, whatever. But so, yeah, so I don't know. But though I am sure, like, yeah, I guess there's got to be some correlation with if you've invested X to get to here, then you are more likely to.
Sunk cost bias, as humans, we love it.
It's true.
It's if you give anything, set more than 5 years of your life to something, that's a significant investment.
Yeah.
Right? So I look at it and I go, why is purple belt so important? You build your game, but then also I think there's huge learning at that level, which is you realize your potential within jiu-jitsu. I think that's where it sits for the individual. If you're out there and you're a blue belt and you're going to get your purple, I think the amount of development that occurs at purple is huge. It's probably underappreciated because people are like, oh, yeah, purple belt, it's pretty easy. It's like being in year 10 in high school, kind of cruising. Some maybe some of the work's hard, some it's not. You wag a bit, whatever. Fuck a warm-up, you know.
Smoke a few cans, no
big
deal. Yeah,
whatever, show up late, you know, get away with it and still happy. You're not getting kicked out of home. You're having a good time. But then you get to year 12. People are putting pressure on you. This is really important. Decide what you're going to do with the rest of your life. You know, I don't know. I'm 17. What about crypto? I think it's way harder to be a teenager now because it's like, yeah, but my mate's making like 16 grand a month on Twitch. Why do I want to study for?
It's true.
This university thing is a rigged game. But once you get out of high school, it's kind of up to you, right? And I feel like that's where you get brown and black. Like, it's kind of choose your own adventure from there. But I feel like at purple, you still need some guidance, but you start to wake up to your potential. And I feel like that's why purple belt is, in some ways, the most important belt in terms of the evolution. Obviously, we all glorify the black belt. But in truth, if we're talking about jiu-jitsu development, that's my take on it. Do you have a memory of the baddest or the best purple belt who you ever had to throw down with?
Ooh, damn. Well, I mean, you know, there's many. I think the toughest purple belt I ever rolled with would have been my counterpart, Bean.
Yeah, you talk about Bean, yeah.
He's the one that went from purple to black belt.
Oh.
He skipped brown belt.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Which is ridiculous. Like, full acknowledgement, it is absurd. And I think he thought it was absurd. The coach, yeah, it was the strangest fucking occurrence. We were both purple belts.
Please dig into this. This is, man.
Yeah.
You haven't told me this story.
So we were both purple belts. I was very on the outer by this stage.
Mm-hmm.
I had opened the first gym, Jungle Brothers, and that was like taking up all my time and I wasn't really enjoying it. You know, I've spoken about that before on the show. So I was kind of petering out. And he just kept this line of like consistent and really savage kind of training, and is a really strong dude, really great technique, through like blue, purple to black. I remember I was on my way home from the gym late one night and he calls me, he just finished class and he goes, bro, coach gave me my black belt tonight.
And I'm what?
Like, bro.
What?
Yeah. And he's like, man, I don't know what the fuck to think of that. And I was like, that's fucked up. Like,
that's crazy.
I didn't want to detract from the achievement, but I'm like,
what?
I'm like, man, that's, how do you feel about that? And he's like, dude, I don't know. I feel really awkward about it. Like, I feel like I just, yeah, should have had my brown belt, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow, that's actually gave me a bit, mate, gives me a bit of a fucking sick feeling in the stomach, because I'm like, that to me is kind of, what's the word, like an abuse of the rites of passage of jiu-jitsu, which is the fucking belt.
Give him a chance just to be a brown belt.
That's right.
Yeah, because there's value in that.
Yeah, and it's almost like disrespecting this whole,
yeah,
this line of, yeah, this thing. Anyway, my view was that potentially the coach probably did it. One, because, I mean, you could argue that, yeah, he was like, he could bash most black belts. But I don't think that's the point. I think that it was because coach wanted to get out of the gym and wanted someone who could run it.
Oh.
That's the worst. Yeah, that is my opinion. It was a really bad move. And it really, for me, was just like final nail in the coffin of like, this gym's fucked. Like, this gym's going down.
Yeah.
Though, so training with Bean was probably one of the toughest roles I can remember. But I do remember at that gym, one role I had, which was I turned up and, you know, picture this, you're like, long day, you haven't really slept very well. You're like, am I going to go to the evening training? You're like, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And you show up, get there, it's the late session, whatever, you know, and there's a guy who turns up and, for the class, new guy. And walks in and just has this like posture and kind
of an air to him.
Yeah, very aloof. Like, really, like, hey man, what's going on? I'm saying, you kind of go, it's like, hey man, nice to meet you. Like, just not
douchebag.
Yeah, instantly you're like, fuck's this guy.
Don't trust this guy.
And he was from somewhere else in Oz, and he was a purple belt.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, I'm just stopping through town. I thought I'd come train.
Mm.
And anyway, he had that. My coach picked up on that same aura of that his. Vibe. And coach looked at me and was like, you do the first round with him.
Give it to him, Joey. Like, you're like, the enforcer.
Fuck, man. I'm like, I didn't come here for that shit.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to just have a chill training session. Yep, maybe pick a few easy rolls. You know,
a few rest rounds.
A few rest rounds. I set this one out, guys. Let me coach you guys a little bit. But
just stretch these
things. I remember vividly, like, you know, slapping hands like, hey, man, yeah, let's do it. And just kind of, you know, I'm projecting what I think I saw, but him just having this opinion of like, I'm going to smash everyone here, and me being like, I got to smash this guy. And it instantly was like
tight,
super tight. Ooh, tire
on.
He goes for a throw.
Ooh.
And I can't remember what it was, but I counted to the throw and I fucking smashed this.
Yes.
Dude.
Yes.
Good work. You know what? You know, like when they put everything into it
and you counter
and it just the tension. And there's just the whip.
Wind up.
Yeah, and it was like, bang. And then it was like, you know, on and what. I think I caught him in an armbar or some shit.
Of course.
And I remember finished that round and I was like. I was like Dyson from Terminator 2. You know, he doesn't want to drop the bomb.
Yeah.
But I was like so jacked up from that. And I just remember thinking like, fuck, I don't need this shit anymore, man.
I don't need this in my life.
But when I think back, I'm like, that was probably the most intense round I ever did at Purple Belt.
Wow, yeah.
You know? For sure. And it was, you know, whatever, egos and, you know, and at that time, I mean, my coach was a black belt. We had Dave who was a brown belt. Yeah. But really, purple belts were like top of the food chain.
Yes.
You didn't have a lot of them.
Yeah.
They were, you know, and still to this day, right?
Yeah.
You show up on a mat and there'll be, purple belts would be the top dogs there and you're like, all right. But I would say back then it was even more so because you just had less people doing it, less people who had trained for that long.
Sure.
So that was almost like now what you would see where like because if you get a black belt that shows up.
Yeah.
They're generally a little bit older. They're not there to prove anything.
Yeah, they keep a bit of respect.
Yeah, and it goes back to that idea of like there is a, and obviously people get to purple belt at all different ages, but there is this kind of middle ground, like mid-20s, late-20s, early-30s, where it's like there's a strong population there.
Yeah, definitely.
And so they're coming to bring the heat.
Oh, for sure.
What about you?
Well, actually in Brazil in 2014, there was a bunch of purples. Like I was a purple, Adam was a purple. It was a tough time to be a purple belt at Alliance because there was a bunch of guys that come in. At that time, Merengali was a purple. Isaac.
Who was taller, him or Adam?
Adam.
Okay.
Yeah, Adam's but he's just got shit posture. He just slumps a bit. Ben yeah. Adams is one of the tallest guys in the game.
Yeah, right.
I think only Ben Hodgkinson is an inch taller than Adams.
Is he taller than Ants?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know Hodge was that tall.
Yeah, he's taller than everyone. He's the tallest guy in jiu-jitsu right now, I think.
What's that, like 6'5"?
6'6", I think.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah, God, if only he put some muscle on him. Shout out Ben Hodgkinson.
Sandbagging Crianche.
But in truth, there was a bunch of purple belts at that time all training. And there's a guy called Roberto. And Roberto is actually from Las Cruces, GB, New Mexico. And we didn't know it. He was the best guy. Like, I think he won Pan Ams at lightweight purple belt. But he was 6'2", and he would make weight at 72. So he was like an avatar. He's super long. And he was just like super mild mannered, like, oh, hey, man, how are you? Shake your hand. And like, bit like almost like a bit effeminate. Like, not a soft handshake, but like there was like a bit of a, like a, like a caress to the handshake. Ooh,
yeah, okay.
And you're like, oh, ooh. Do we know each other? Yeah, what's going on? And man, he would smoke everyone in the gym. Everyone couldn't believe this guy. Like, God, what's with this guy? Like, he's killing everyone. Like, just even black belts, he was taking people's backs. And everyone's like, who's this? So straight away, Fabio's like, we got to get this guy off Team GB and get him on Alliance team. Like,
right.
Like, there was a point where, like, same thing, like, okay, this guy's doing too well. You, senior mat enforcer, bash this guy. And they couldn't do it. Like, ooh, even damn. Top guys, he was like passing guards. And mate, he choked.
Nothing worse than when you're the mat enforcer and you're not able to enforce.
Oh, God. It just hurts your heart,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you fucking go on.
But the thing about him was he took some beer, just seppuku.
Yeah.
Gut yourself. Mate, he took beatings too. Like, he was just had this. He was kind of, I guess I learned this from Taekwondo, our Korean coach. He never gave any emotion. He was never angry, but he was never happy. He just had dead face. Mm. And I actually find that the most intimidating thing, when someone has no emotion at all.
So funny you say that. I had a couple of Korean training partners back at Blue Belt.
Okay.
Who were exactly the same.
Yeah.
They show you nothing.
Mm.
And can't get
can't
a read.
Can't read them.
Yeah.
No.
And it was like, I only saw, it was a obviously like a very trained and ingrained kind of thing, like a toughness.
Don't show pain. Yep. Don't show fatigue. Don't show emotion. Just, and so you're given, is you know, like classic thing in a movie, dude hits other dude as hard as he can. Wow. Dude just snaps back, like whatever.
Yeah.
Roberto could take the hardest punishment from the biggest dudes and give nothing.
Right.
Like, nah, no emotion, and rarely got tapped.
He was Brazilian?
No. He's
he said New Mexico.
So. He's from New Mexico, so right. I think he was part Hispanic American. Just tall, slim, tan skin, and just long eyelashes, freckles.
Sounds very nice. You got a photo of him?
Aquarius. And man, a lovely guy. Like, he was a roommate of, like, we were staying in the same place. All the ladies loved him. Like, he killed it with the ladies.
Sounds like all the boys loved him too.
I think they did. I think he might have liked the boys too. It was never made public. But
how cool.
Bro, and he choked me so hard one time, I couldn't stop coughing. Like, he crushed my throat.
Ugh.
And then I just couldn't breathe properly and I just...
Because that shit folds.
Yeah.
And it can take a little while.
And he had his forearm on my neck when he choked me. And I felt like my esophagus cracked or something.
Yeah.
It was really rough. And I cried after training. He bashed me.
Wow.
Like, I thought, oh, we're cool. And he's like, today we're not cool. I don't know what had happened. I don't know what's going on in his life. But that day he beat me so bad, he tapped me 8 times in probably a 6-minute round.
Wow.
And I was giving it everything at the height of my powers. And he freaking destroyed me.
Wow. And that made you cry?
After just training.
The disappointment or?
Disappointment in myself.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was ready. I thought I was ready to be one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
And he just showed me like, nah, bro, you're bigger than me and I'm way better than you. But I believe he was on another. I felt he was probably on a brown belt level.
Yeah, right.
He was already there. But it's just his attitude was so relaxed. There was no pretense. You didn't get a vibe like, oh, this guy thinks he's a champion. But God, did he roll like that. And yeah, it's like one of those guys makes you want to quit.
Mm.
You know, you're just like, oh, this guy is too good for me. Where do I sit in this world of jiu-jitsu? This is confronting. And I never saw him again after that thing. Like, everybody was talking about how good he was.
He sounds like a lovely guy. Hopefully something bad happened to him.
He probably got shot in a drug deal in New Mexico.
You say Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah. Because that's the thing. They got the biggest meth problem in all of the states.
Oh, shit.
Crazy. But yeah, purple belt and just a threat to everyone.
Yeah.
So if you are...
So there's a little bit of props for all the purple belts out there. We respect you guys.
We do.
Somewhat.
Somewhat. But you're still a purple belt. Next thing's next, Joe. We got any shout-outs or anything else we need to give the people?
Oh, man. We got a lot going on. I want to just give a quick update on what's happening with the program. JT and I are working at the moment to try and get an app built, and we're just figuring out the best way to do it. The program that we have is changing the lives of jiu-jitsu players around the world. It's the coolest fucking thing we've ever done. But it is all based on a website at this point, which we know, and we're well aware, is not the ideal way for you guys to engage with it. So the app is the next frontier. We're just figuring out how to do it because we got to be smart about it and we want to make sure that it's really good and operates, you know, that's really great to use. So that's happening on that piece. And in amongst all of that, we got changes to our standards program coming. Correct. We got updates to our mobility program.
Yep.
And we got our prehab coach, which is like an injury kind of prevention / rehab coach piece that we're going to have built into the members area. For everyone that's on it, love you guys. For anyone that's listening that wants to be a part of that, jump on board, bulletproofofbjj.com. You can sign up for a free trial. You get a week for free, and then you pay very little, and you got a few different subscription options. But if you use the code BJJPODCAST, you get 20% off your subscription. Go do it. Sign up. Get strong. Get flexible. Get the guidance. The beauty is that we built the whole thing so that it doesn't interfere too much with your jiu-jitsu training. So you can keep doing your thing on the mats. You can get a couple of days of strength and mobility in, and you can make sure you're looking after yourself and staying in the game so that you can be the purple belt that goes to black belt.
Oh, yeah.
Or the white belt that goes to black belt or wherever you want to take it.
Exactly. Thank you.
Good one. Thank you, bro. Cheers, guys.